everyone. This is Chris. Thanks once again for downloading this week. I never take it for granted. You have to know that you would take the time to kind of just listen to this wherever you are, at the gym, in the car, or, you know, just walking, sitting, wherever you might be. Thanks for taking the time out of your day to input. You know, we really prayerfully consider what it is that we feel to kind of bring to you this week, and not waste your time, but hopefully input into your life and help build you to become all that God's called you to become and do all that He's called you to do. And, you know, an issue that's really been on my heart over the last several months that I really wanted to, I guess, tap into a little bit today, and I think you'll hear a little bit more about this over the coming months, but has been the whole really thought of working together with the Holy Spirit to outwork the purposes of God. Now, I know in a lot of ministry that I do, you know, I'm in and out of so many different denominations and in and out of the breadth of God's church, which I love and is fantastic. But, you know, I really want to be upfront and say that there is no way that I could do what I do without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Truly, it is because of Him, by Him, through Him, that I really, really am able to do this. A lot of people say to me, you know, Chris, how do you have and do it all? And the book, you know, Can I Have and Do It All, please, came out of that. But I ended that book with the final thought that, you know, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And fundamentally in that I said, you know, having and doing it all has got a lot more to do with being empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it, because we have a supernatural destiny and there is no natural way you can fulfill a supernatural destiny. You and I need supernatural empowerment from a supernatural God to fulfill a supernatural destiny. And I know that, you know, some people sometimes get a little bit nervous, but fundamentally the Christian doctrine is that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and very much believe that He is alive today working in His church. I always think, you know, when Jesus Himself, God incarnate, was walking on the earth and said, you know what, it's better for you that I go, and I'm going to send another, a comforter, a helper, to walk alongside you and enable you to do what you're called to do. I kind of feel that if Jesus thought it's better for Him to go so that we could have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to do what we're called to do, then you know what, we ought to get good as the church of walking together with the Holy Spirit. And the whole reason I'm really bringing this up is when I look towards the future of the church, I look at where we are on the earth now and the mandate that God has given us, and the church is kind of more resourced than ever. We have more access to information, more access to teaching, more access to resources and technology and the internet and television, you know, but at the end of the day, it takes people to reach people, and then it takes the Holy Spirit, who's the only one that's able to convict hearts and see people saved. Ultimately, it's not us that do that. It's the Holy Spirit's work that does that. And I'm looking at the needs on the earth, and I'm looking at the church, and I'm thinking, you know what, we're about out of really good ideas. We have got great books on leading with excellence, on church schedules and programming and sermons and songs and books and tapes and CDs. I mean, we've got the whole lot. But at the end of the day, the only way we're going to move forward into the future that God has for us is through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Like, I remember just at the end of Hillsong this year, it was so powerful, the conference, and the presence of God was so evident. And I just kind of looked up to heaven and went, God, we cannot do this without You. Wherever we're going, we've never been before as a church, and we need the leading of Your Spirit. We need the guidance of Your Spirit. We need the wisdom of Your Spirit. We need prophetic insight, because it's not enough to be contemporary with our world. We need to be a prophetic voice into our generation, bringing light and life and liberty. And it's funny how things go full circle. You know, I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and was a bit of a ranting, raving Penty, I've got to say, in my early days. And still am deep down, I've got to tell you. There's a strong bent in me. But it's funny how you kind of, you know, pull certain things back, and there are times and seasons for certain things and for the gifts to operate in certain ways and for the manifestation of the gifts to operate in certain ways. But I guess I'm saying all that, you know, in my podcast, I'm always just so open and candid of saying, I just think there's a definite swing coming back where we really need the gifts of God's Spirit. And in the same way God has given us fruit, He's also given us gifts. And there's 9 fruits of the Spirit, and there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. And there's a reason why He wants those to work together. I think there was just a season in church where there was some incredible excesses where people were perhaps manifesting the gifts of the Spirit, but there was no fruit in their lives that went along with that. And that caused people to pull back and just think, you know, I don't want to be associated with that. But we can't lock the Holy Spirit out of His very own church. And so I think it's time to kind of unlock some of those doors and just go, come on, Holy Spirit, have Your way. And so I've invited on the podcast today a great friend of mine who you've heard from before, my great friend Sam DeMauro, who is not only a great soul winner, we've already talked about that, but I know in my own life is a great example of partnering with the Holy Spirit. I know, Sam, that even in our own church, you spoke many times and to church and even to Bobby's sisterhood meeting about partnering together with the Holy Spirit. Can you tell us a little bit about that whole concept?
Yeah, well, Paul says to the Corinthians, he makes his statements. He says, you know, we therefore as co-workers with God. Another version says we then as partners with God. And one of the things we really have to come and understand is, you know, some people say it's all God. So they pray like it all, you know, reaching people, helping people is all God's work. And they pray and they wait for God. Other people say, well, no, hang on, we just got to go and do it. And then they go out and they do it all themselves with no prayer. And but really, it's not one or the other, it's both. We have to understand, you know, that if we're going to reach the world, you know, whether it's our friends in our world or whether it's lost people, whatever it is that we're doing, if we're going to reach it, then we've got to understand that God's got a responsibility and we've got a responsibility, and it's not one or the other, but it's together.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that makes it together is understanding that, you know, Jesus said, when I go, I will send another. And he talked about the Holy Spirit. He said, he will be with you and he will be in you. And it's interesting, he told him not to do anything until the Holy Spirit came. And so I think one of the big challenges for us is to really believe that we actually do have the Holy Spirit with us 24/7.
Right.
And that there's certain things that he needs us to do and there's certain things that we need him to do. And when we understand that, then it becomes, I guess, a natural part of your day to work with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that prompts you to do that good deed, you know, but then he needs you to do it.
Right. Yeah, yeah, totally.
I remember praying for a friend of mine to get saved. And as I'm driving home from the prayer meeting, he said, go and tell her. And I made up every excuse why I shouldn't.
Yeah.
And he said, go and tell her. Well, it's late, Lord, you know. Someone else will, Lord. And he said, well, no, go and tell her. You know, I'd prayed and asked for her to get saved. I asked him to do his thing. Now he was asking me to do my thing and go and tell her. And it's amazing, you know, that when you understand that it's a partnership.
Totally.
It just changes things.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I know that you've told me a couple of stories of At the New Age Festival. I remember when we first went, I was in college and we started a Christ consciousness stand.
That's right, that was the stand.
Remember that? And people were like manifesting. I mean, I'm talking Christians at first, were like, what are you doing there? And I'm thinking, why would I be freaking out? Like, you know, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we saw miracles happen.
I love fishing, Chris. And you go fishing where the fish are biting.
Oh, hello. Totally.
Right. You don't go fishing in where there's no fish. And so I reckon, you know, when it comes to something like the New Age Festival, it's a gathering of the fish. Because everyone there's searching. Everyone there's hungry. Everyone's looking for spiritual reality.
That's great.
And but it's a challenging place, not because I'm worried about some demon getting on me. The facts are, greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. So if someone touches me, not their demon comes on me, but my Holy Ghost goes on them.
I love that.
It's a one-way thing.
So tell us a couple of encounters that you've had.
I found at first I found it really difficult to talk to them about Jesus, because as soon as they found out we're Christians, they didn't want to know about it. So I said, Holy Spirit, help me. How do I reach these people? How do I even start a conversation? And he said to them, he said to me, you know, Jesus said, you know, unless you're born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I started the conversation with, you know, it's not enough that we're born physically. And they go, yeah. You know, we need to be born spiritually. And they go, yeah. And then I'd say, well, Jesus said, unless you're born again.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, because the Holy Spirit gave me a word of wisdom on how to reach them, they started to be open. And I remember one lady, and this is a sad story, and I guess this is what Christianity does without the Holy Spirit. She'd belonged to a church where there was no reality of God.
Right.
And no reality of God. God didn't speak to anyone. They just did the right thing.
Yeah.
And she was a Sunday school teacher for 60 years. And she was well into her 70s, maybe early 80s. And she'd turned from being a Sunday school teacher 60 years into the New Age.
Wow.
And I said, well, why? Why did you make the change? And she said, well, there was no spiritual reality for me in church, but there is here. And I said to her, look, you need to know that, you know, Jesus is the truth and this isn't the truth. And she, but she, you know, she started to harden her heart, and I noticed that she, you know, she had a limp. And I said, look, can I pray for your limp and show you that God is real?
Wow.
Now, that is a bit of a step of faith, yeah, and you really do hope God comes through. And I was thinking that at the time. But Jesus said, when you lay hands on the sick, they recover. And the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the gifts is the gift of faith.
Right.
And the gift of healing.
Yep.
And I did. I prayed for her, and I said, God, you know, you heal her. And then I said, oh, look, you have to walk around and then come back and tell us what God's done. And, you know, the awesome thing is God healed her.
Oh, wow. How cool is that? And, what did she say?
Well, I'd love to say that she repented on the spot, but she didn't. But what she did know was that the God she taught for 60 years had just visited her life.
Yeah, I agree with you too. And I think sometimes we don't underestimate the work. I think when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, only one at that point came back and said thank you. But you still really don't ultimately know.
That's
right.
You
still healed them all, no matter what.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, as far as I know, she's come back into the kingdom.
Totally, totally. I think that's powerful. And I know there was another incident with a gentleman, I think, you were telling me.
Yeah. And, this guy was a Reiki healer.
Okay.
And he'd been praying for people to be healed the whole New Age, at the whole New Age conference, whatever, you know, the whole week there. And I'd tried a few times to talk to him about Jesus. He didn't want to know. And then anyway, the last afternoon, you know, it had gotten pretty quiet and most people had gone home. He came over to our booth and he said, you know, he started talking and I noticed he had hearing aids. And I said to him, look, do you mind if I pray for you? I mean, that's the awesome thing about when you believe in the Holy Spirit, he's alive today,
is
you can pray for people and believe God to do something. And he goes, yeah, sure. And I don't know, maybe it was the Holy Spirit gave me the boldness or what, but when I laid hands on him, I actually prayed out loud. He could hear it. And I prayed out loud and I said, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every devil that's trying to blind this man from the truth. And it was funny. He kept letting me pray for him. And then I prayed for him to be healed. And when I finished praying for him, he said to me, oh, are you praying colours? And I said, oh, yeah, what colours?
Yes.
And he goes, purple and another colour. And then he said, and then the most powerful colour, red. And I said, red? I said, that's interesting because, you know, red's the blood of Jesus.
Awesome.
And then he says, now tell me, what do you believe again?
Wow.
And for about 3 minutes, he was completely open to the gospel. And I got to share with him how Jesus was the truth, and you know, and how Jesus died for him, and he needed to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And then after 3 minutes, he closed up again.
Wow!
But what an awesome testimony to the power of God, you know.
Totally, totally. And I think for you, do you feel comfortable, you know, praying for people for healing and just? I just think I've actually become more open than ever. Even yesterday, I was at Target getting some toys for my kids. Mm. And the girl at the checkout, you know, she wears a name tag. And so I just said, how are you doing? She just looked like she was in pain. And she goes, oh, you know, I'm not very well today. I said, you know what? I said, I really believe Jesus can heal you. And just as natural as anything, I said, can I pray for you? It's just, I don't even think it needs to be weird. And I'm finding all over again, there seems to be this openness in just normal everyday life.
Absolutely. I mean, look at what, you know, the occult's doing on our TVs. I mean, clairvoyancy and tarot card reading. I mean, people are really open to it, and we shouldn't be ashamed of it. But I think I will say this: when I first got saved, I found it very easy, and I was very bold and very confident to pray for people to be healed. But then sometimes through life experience, you know, some people don't get healed, and you know, you get a disappointment along the way, and you start to get disappointed with God and doubting God, and I think that's unfortunately then where most people's faith stops.
Yeah, that'll be true.
But I've come to the realization that I don't understand why some people don't get healed, but I do know this, that God does heal.
Yeah.
It's in the covenant.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is with us. His word teaches us when we lay hands on the sick, they do recover. So I've gotten to that place now, nearly 20 years, where I've had to make myself bold again.
Yeah.
My confidence is trusting that God's word is true And I don't know why some don't, but just because some don't, I won't stop.
That's great, yeah.
And the truth is that I've seen a lot more people healed than I haven't seen healed.
Yeah.
And most of it didn't happen from a pulpit, didn't
right.
happen from a stage
yeah.
or an event or a church service. A lot of it just happened in people's homes, in the marketplace, at work.
Yeah.
You know, and they were in the good old days before I worked at church. And
but I even found like yesterday in the checkout line, in 5 seconds,
it's
that's
true.
All it takes.
That's all it takes.
And people are so open. Like she was not hostile at
and
all.
And I don't close my eyes and start shumba-rumbering and praying in tongues. I just keep my eyes open. I don't even lay hands on them sometimes. But I'll just say, look, why don't you just stand there? I'll stand here and I'll just pray. And I pray as if I'm having a normal conversation.
Yeah.
They don't feel awkward because everyone thinks I'm just talking to them. And yet at the same time, you know, the power of God is touching them.
Well, and I believe in the reality of the power of God in many ways. You know, we joke a little bit about speaking in tongues. I remember for me 22 years ago, before I had ever walked into any kind of spirit-filled, charismatic, Pentecostal, whatever you want to call it, church, I remember getting a phone call from a cousin, and he'd been to a meeting of an Italian evangelist down in the Petersham in Sydney, and I remember he called me, you know, because Greeks were allowed to go to Italian things, but you couldn't go to Skippy things back, Aussie things back then. So he called me and he's like, Christine. And he just started blurting down the phone in this kind of foreign language. And he goes, I just went to this meeting and all these Italians were on the floor and everyone was speaking in tongues. And I felt like he was psycho. And I said, what are you talking about, George? Because, you know, I'm Greek, so all your cousins are George.
Yeah.
And so I go, and he goes, Christine, it's amazing. Anyway, he kind of went on for about 5 minutes. I hung up the phone. I remember going into my bedroom. It was the night before my final high school certificate exam. I knelt by the bed, and I remember just praying. I'd never even walked almost into a Protestant church, let alone a spirit-filled kind of church. And I said, Jesus, George just called and said something about, I think, speaking in tongues. I remember saying, I think speaking in tongues. And this is the reality for me. Now, this kind of event has never happened before or since in my Christian life, but just over 20 years ago, this is what happened. I remember literally I felt like this wind in my room. I saw a white light, which, you know me, I'm as pragmatic as they come, so me even saying this on a podcast is a little bit out there. But anyway, that's what happened. And for the next 2 hours, I could not get up off that floor.
Mm.
And just I was speaking in a tongue that I had never spoken. I speak Greek and I speak English, so I knew it was not one of those. And for 2 hours, sobbing, like, and just couldn't move. I remember finally I got up. I went into my parents. I'm bawling my eyes out. And I'm going, Mom, Dad, there must be a God. There must be a God. Look at this. And off I went. My mother thought that I had studied so hard for my HSC exam that she gave me half a Valium and told me to go to bed. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. But I went up all night. And then the next day I'm at my high school. And all the exam monitors are there and you've got all your individual desks. It's your final school exam before you go to university. And I was just the whole time like speaking in tongues. I was going, I couldn't. I didn't know any better. No one had taught me. I didn't know what had happened, but I think I would have been like the Book of Acts, like people were thinking she has been drinking this one. And then someone came up to me very early on and said to me, it was one of the people that was involved for religious education at school. And they got her in because they thought Christine snapped. And she had said to me, you know, this is of the devil. It was in the early 80s when this is of the devil. This is not anything of God. And it kind of just shut me down, you know, like it was just a thing. And so, and I had no teaching, wasn't in a Protestant church, had no kind of discipleship. So it was a very confusing time for me. I could never deny the reality of that. So then when I really came to Christ in a real way, came back to God and just kind of began to get planted in a local church and discipled, definitely it has been part of, in the last 20 years, it's been part of my everyday Christian life.
Yeah.
And I know it has been a great empowerment. I truly believe that, you know, when the Bible says every good gift is from above and that God would not give us a bad gift. So you don't even need, to me, huge theology to work this out that, you know, it's God. But I know for you, what kind of role has that kind of filling of the Holy Spirit done in your life?
I think it, you know, like I didn't know that you couldn't get baptized in the Holy Spirit. I sort of grew up religious background, so no one had told me it had finished with the apostles and it didn't exist anymore today and the gifts didn't exist today. So I guess I had I guess I had the great opportunity of reading the Bible at face value.
Wow, yeah.
And so when I began to speak in tongues, you know, the Bible says that it edifies you.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times, you know, I come from a family that suffered depression generationally. Mm-hmm. And I just made a decision that that's going to finish with me.
Wow, yeah.
And that's something that my kids will never have to handle again. But I don't know how many times, you know, I'd start to get in a dark place. And the Bible says, you know, as you pray in tongues, one of the things it does, it edifies you.
Totally.
You know, I don't know how many times praying in tongues has just lifted my spirit.
Yeah.
It's like it switched the light back on.
That's great.
It removed the dark clouds that were starting to form over me. And because it says, you know, but speaking tongues, you're not speaking to man, but you're speaking
totally to
God.
Yeah.
And again, you know, I've got people that who are in my world that I'm praying for, and some of them aren't Christian yet, and a lot of my prayer for them is actually in tongues.
Yeah, yeah, me
because
too.
The Bible says, you know, when praying in tongues, you know, it's the Spirit, you know, interceding, you know, on our behalf. And you don't know what to pray sometimes, but I know that when I pray in tongues, that God knows.
Yeah.
And I'm actually praying really what they need to hear. And I don't know how many times, you know, when you start the day in tongues, how all of a sudden the gifts begin to flow more naturally.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you're not striving to, you know, squeeze out a word of knowledge or, you know, or you'll force out maybe a gift of faith. It just flows so much easier. And I guess that's why Paul said that he prayed in tongues more than anyone else.
Oh, totally. Totally. And I think, you know, it's not a subject that's talked about much in church, a lot of places where I go, and it's almost like we're a little bit scared. Now, I also understand that there's been some excesses in that whole area, and, you know, you're not going to walk into a public church meeting with 3 hours of speaking in tongues.
But the Bible addresses that.
That's exactly
it's not like
point.
The,
yeah, totally.
Paul actually says, don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and even the Bible's against that.
Well, yeah, hello. And I'm with you. And I think in that it's time to kind of like revisit the whole issue, like why and how. And I think there are, you know, I definitely am not of the opinion that the only evidence that you're filled with the Spirit is that. I definitely am not, because, you know, there are many men and women of God that are unbelievable men and women of God that haven't manifested that particular gift. Mm. But definitely I can see lots of evidence in the Bible that 3 out of 4 times there's a direct accompaniment as evidence of, you know, being filled with the Spirit of speaking in tongues. I just kind of want to stir up a hunger in people to actually say, look, you know, if that's something God has for me,
totally,
then I want to go for it. That's really the purpose of this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, again, you know, I remember the first time someone prayed for me, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I remember I went out the front and I so much wanted to pray in tongues and nothing happened. and I was just so disappointed. I hadn't been saved that long, so I walked away, you know, expressing that in different language. But you know, I went again and I went again and still, you know, there was no tongues. And I remember just being at home and I just locked myself in the room and just day after day after day, you know, a few hours every day, I'd be reading books on baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking tongues and I just kept going after it, and then it just happened.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things the enemy would love to do is use discouragement to stop us from pursuing it, and maybe say, well, maybe that part's not for me.
Yeah.
But I would encourage anyone that, you know, you want it, you're desperate for it, to go after it.
Yeah.
But what I discovered with the Holy Spirit is we don't, if we're to live in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's not so that our life could be filled with power so that we can look good for God.
Yeah.
We actually need to. You know, the Bible says that, you know, when he comes in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that he'll give us the power, you know, to be witnesses. That word witness actually means martyr.
Yeah. Yeah.
And basically the Holy Spirit gives us the power to die to ourselves.
Yeah.
Die to our agendas, die to our purposes, die to our plans, die to our agendas, you know, so that we can actually live for God.
Yeah, totally.
And the real power of the Holy Spirit is actually manifested in a selfless life.
A
life that is totally committed to the kingdom and to his cause. We don't add God onto our life to make our life better.
Yeah.
But we give up our life to make his kingdom better.
Which I think is totally true. And I'm thinking to even advance the cause of Christ, I don't quite know how we could without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I'm just thinking in particular, I mean, mine seem to be supermarket examples, but or airport ones, but I remember being in the line at the supermarket, you know, holding my feta cheese and tartar masala as you would and olives. But this is what I just felt, this impression that I was next in line in the aisle, and I felt the Holy Spirit say, Christine, you see the girl scanning at the checkout. Well, this was now Friday afternoon. Well, she's scheduled to have an abortion on Monday. And I remember kind of like freaking out, literally in my spirit, I went to God, so what do you want me to do about it? And and I'm thinking everyone could see the big evangelist now. Here I am, you know, what do you want? And then I felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to say something, to which I responded, I'm almost ashamed to say this, you say something. Like, of course, because I wasn't in that line to say anything on his behalf. And then, but then I had this kind of, my heart started pounding. And for me, God seems to work like this. I'm thinking a bolt of lightning's going to come, I'm dead. So I, and it must have been the Lord, because then I think he gave me not only that word of knowledge, but then a word of wisdom, because of how to communicate this to her. Because she started scanning my goods. And we'll just say her name's Sharon from her tag. I could read that. And I went, Sharon. And she looked up at me, shocked that anyone had probably acknowledged her as a human being the whole day. And I went, Sharon. And then I just simply went, I said, you know that thing that you have scheduled to do on Monday? Honey, you don't need to do that. There's another way. There are other options. I can help you. And she just stopped mid-scanning and just started sobbing. And I freaked out. I'm like, oh my gosh, it works, it works. I was like freaking out. I mean, her manager came over thinking I was telling her off because she was crying, and I had to wait till the whole end of the workday. And then I talked to her and gave her, you know, a whole lot of other options. I'd love to say that I know what she did, because I don't know what she did. No. But she did wait to talk to me, and we went through, and I just thought, that's just like God in some supermarket in the back of nowhere. Yeah. He stops because he cares so much about one person that he's got a Christian out. You know, I wasn't on a big stage with the big music and the big crowd. It was a person that God wanted to help rescue.
But that's what God wants to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the gifts aren't for Sundays or big Christian events. You know, the real work doesn't happen on Sunday.
Totally.
The real work starts on Monday.
Yep.
And we need to partner with the Holy Spirit. The most of God's work happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yep.
It doesn't happen Sunday. The bulk of the work happens 6 days a week with one in five people on the planet partnering with the Holy Spirit, reaching the people in their world, and just being obedient to him. Then they all come together back on Sunday, and they all get encouraged and told, come on, guys, we can do this. Be encouraged. Sure, you had a tough week. You know, might have got some persecution there or blah, blah here. But Sunday is just about encouraging us to get back out to do the work.
Yeah.
And you know, some people listening, you know, they might be wondering, you know, what's God want me to do? And the truth is, you're probably already in the middle of it, and you just don't understand it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe, you know, and maybe the person you work with, maybe the Holy Spirit wants to partner with you to reach them, or maybe that, you know, person in your family, the Holy Spirit's going to give you the strength and the wisdom and the courage to live out your Christianity in the face of incredible persecution. And I think that's where the Holy Spirit really does his best work.
Totally.
And it's with us when no one else is looking.
Exactly.
No TV cameras.
That's exactly
no
right.
No podcasts.
Mate. That's it.
You know, and that's the purpose of this podcast.
Of course,
you know?
It is. And that's the whole purpose of our walk with Christ, to be empowered and filled with his Holy Spirit to outwork his purpose on the planet. So I want to encourage you to really pursue an intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I can tell you, you know, as dorky as it kind of sounds, I remember years ago when Benny Hinn wrote a book, Good Morning Holy Spirit.
Yes.
It changed my life.
It changed mine.
I was like, good. And it just changed me from this awareness of the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit. And I remember for years getting up every day, Good Morning Holy Spirit.
Talk about dorky. I said, how can I remember the Holy Spirit's with me every day? Because I can't see him.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel him, sometimes I don't. So I've got a rib and tied it around my watch band, so every time I looked at the time, saw the ribbon, it reminded me that he was there, and I would just acknowledge him every time I saw the ribbon, and it changed my life.
Yeah, and I honestly believe it's about that simple, and
it
that's
is that
really
simple.
That's what I want to do. So I pray that this has just created in you at least a hunger to maybe pursue more. If you're already kind of on fire with the Holy Ghost, that you would just pursue him even more. Maybe if you've had a lot of questions and kind of been wondering, not really heard me talk like this before, then, you know, I'm really willing to help you. You know, you can, of course, get online at equipandempower.org and ask me, email me any questions you might have, and we'll be happy to answer you. But I don't want you to miss out on, so a lot of us kind of, even in our Christianity, feel like something is missing. I don't know how to word it. Often I go, look, it's the Gatorade, it's the Powerade. Without, you just kind of need that. It's not a charge buzz. It's the person of the Holy Spirit working together with you to do the supernatural work that God's called you to do. So I pray that there's a hunger and an awakening in you for Him and for the nine gifts of the Spirit with a passion, because we need them all to do what God's called us to do. I know I'm relying on Him more than I ever have, and relying on the gifts more than I have. I'm in territory that I've never been in before. What we're doing with helping to stop human trafficking on the earth, with all of our travel and our evangelism, and being a wife, being a mother, I need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So, and if I do, you do, we all do. So anyway, hope that this week's really, really encouraged you and ministered to you, and that's our goal. You know, I call it Coffee with Chris because I basically just want you to eavesdrop in on some of my conversations with my friends, because really, if you were having coffee with us, this is exactly how I'd be talking with our friends. Maybe a little bit more heated, probably a little bit more estranged for this. But love you loads, and I can't wait to chat next week. Bless you. See ya.
Thank you for listening to this week's Coffee with Chris King. Make sure you don't miss next week's podcast, as you never know where in the world she might be next. In the meantime, check out our website, www.equipandempower.org, for photos, downloads, Chris's schedule, articles, and a link to her Twitter, where you can keep up with Chris's adventures around the world in real time. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next week for another Coffee with Chris.